This holiday, deck their countertops with peppermint white chocolate mochas, gingerbread lattes, and pumpkin cream cold brews. Ninja Luxe Cafe is the ultimate gift. It's the number one best-selling espresso machine in the U.S., perfect for the coffee lovers in your life. If they can dream it, they can brew it. No skills needed. Espresso balanced. Drip coffee, rich. Cold brew in a flash. Hands-free, silky microfoam. Dairy or plant-based milks. Bring joy into their holiday and every day after with Ninja Luxe Cafe. Shop now.
Hi, this is Lauren Lester, and you're listening to the GeekCast Radio Network.
Beyond good, beyond evil, beyond your wildest imagination.
Welcome to Tooncast Beyond. I am your host, Steve Doing Mike, and joining me for the first time on this version of Tooncast is JT from Saskatoon. Hello.
Good day to you, sir. How are you?
Pretty good. You guys may remember JT from the Johnny Bravo episode in Tooncast Classic and the Zeta Project episode in Tooncast Classic.
Yeah, we have to stretch on that one.
Hey! Yeah, that episode is more so audio versus actual discussion.
Yeah.
That was hard to get 30-something minutes out of Zeta.
We tried.
And we are continuing the Season of Superheroes here on Season 1 of Tooncast Beyond with The Batman. The Batman.
Not the crap man.
Ends with a D and ends with a man, not a C and ends with a man. Thank you very much, you alcoholics aficionados.
Oh, come on, Mike. Everyone is allowed their opinion, even though it's wrong.
The problem is that one alcoholic aficionado does not want to ever let anyone say the actual title of the show, which is The Batman.
Well, it's, and, you know, no names, but... While I respect his opinion, because, you know, it's his opinion.
Exactly.
It's not that I think his opinion is wrong. It's the fact that you can't voice an honest opinion around him without 20 minutes of salamander fingers. Because, you know, and will people listening will talk. I'll go into more detail of that in the show. It's just by and large, it's like a 60-40 split. 60% I like this series, 40% I had problems with, and, you know, we'll get into that, so.
Yeah. So, yes, we are here to talk about The Batman. Before we get into that, you're going to hear the second version of the theme song. Go, folks, you heard the first season one, season two theme song at the very beginning of this episode of Tooncast Beyond, and just then you heard the season three to season five version. Just to get the theme song talk out of the way before we really set the stage for this show. When I first heard the when I first saw like the first episode of this series, I was like, what the hell are they doing with that theme song? Because the theme song was like, this is not a show meant for kids to me. When I first heard the first version of the theme song, I was like, this is like, holy crap, Batman is creepy type of cartoon.
Well, yeah, it kind of had like that kind of a gothic sound to it, which I kind of thought, I mean, I was creeped out too, especially get the Batman at the end of it there. It's just like,
yeah,
the, just, you know, chills up the spine. But I mean, the coolest thing for those that don't know is the season one and two, the theme song was, it was written and performed by The Edge of U2, which was awesome. And I really grew to like that one. And then the second version that we all heard there, it's like, hey, we can make it better. Let's make it like the 60s Batman.
And I don't mind that homage that's in there of that na-na-na-na-na. I don't mind that, but it's like, Jesus Christ, pick a theme song. Don't just copy Justice League after two seasons, change the theme song. I mean, you know, I absolutely love both JL and JLU theme songs, but I love the JLU theme song a hell of a lot better.
That's my preferred one. I mean, the first one's got that epicness to it, but the second one, I like that, you know, the power rock version, which is JLU. So, yeah. But yeah, I mean, the theme song aside, yeah, like I said, I do like the show.
Right.
You know, it's...
Yeah.
One thing I do want to mention, this is something we got from the guys over at AA, was something that Sam Register, who's like the exec producer in this series, where this guy's got uber douche written all over him, because he actually said in an interview, and I have read this online, where when just before the show came out, he made a stab at Bruce Timm's superior work. And I'm going to say that right now. This is a good series. It's not a great series like BTAS. Mm-hmm. But Register said that this show is like the Batman is going to, appeal to everyone, not just basement dwelling virgins, which I was like, whoa, whoa. Dude, I know you want to like sell your product and you want to, you know, make a, you know, carve out a niche for you in this animation market. You do not talk shit about my Batman. and you know what? Still, and also not even talking about Batman, that's just kind of rude and really ignorant to say something like that, that the only people that like TAS were basement. It's like, screw you, sir.
Yep.
So.
And to set the stage for the Batman, it is a American animated television series produced by Warner Brothers Animation based on the DC Comics superhero Batman, which I know that we often call Batman a superhero because of his, you know, incredible strength of feats and everything else and all that, but I just don't, like, he is a hero. I don't see him as a, when I hear the term superhero, I think of X-ray vision or, you know,
superpowers.
Web spitting action, stuff like that. The show ran from 2004 to 2008 on the Saturday morning television block, Kids WB. Reruns of the first two seasons aired on the Boomerang channel as of 2009, and all the seasons were aired on Cartoon Network as well. Although the series borrows many elements from previous Batman storylines, it does not follow the continuity set by the comic books, the film series, nor that of Batman the Animated Series, or its spin-offs. The character designs were provided by Jackie Chan Adventures artist Jeff Matsuda. He also directed the ending. The series won 6 Emmy Awards.
So, yeah, and I mean...
They'll give an Emmy to anybody, though.
Yeah, but, you know, for a cartoon series, I mean, I don't think they look at it that much. And, I mean, just as, you know, kind of talk about the character designs, since you mentioned it there. I mean, I grew up reading a lot of comics, and I'm certainly chipping with, like, talk about comic talk in this one. But Jeff Matsuda is one of those guys that he always brought a lot of anime manga stylings to his art. Like, you know, wildly distended arms and legs, and everything's got like some sort of tech theme, and he's got his own style. I mean, you look at the design of just Bruce Wayne / Batman alone, the dude's got a concave face for like the first two seasons of the show.
Oh yeah.
Like whenever you see him from a side profile, it looks like he's got like a crescent moon for a face, which can be jarring to those that are, animation fans. And the other thing, like, you know, our friends over at A&A there, they, especially Ben, talks about the salamander fingers, and you look at specifically the men. The women don't really have it, but you look at the guys, and they all, you look at the joints of the fingers, it gets wider and longer as it goes from the head, from the fist, you know?
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it can be disturbing. I mean, that, and that's a nitpicky thing at best. I mean, you look at the character designs. It was a spot on Batman design, I have to say.
It was, and I liked it. What really freaked me out about this series, at least the first season or so, mm-hmm. was that the cape appeared to be alive, and it appeared to do whatever the hell it wanted. It was like they crossed over Jackie Chan Adventures, Batman, and Spawn, because his cape, it just felt like it would do or it would move however it wanted to without him knowing.
Yeah, I think it wasn't so much that I noticed, but it seemed to change, like, hem lengths. Like, there are times when he stands up straight and it kind of covers his feet, so it just looks like menacing. Or when he's standing on a rooftop and it seems like there's like 30 extra feet dragging off down the chimney and it's flapping in the breeze all majestic. Like, so stuff like that, yeah, I mean, it's kind of a perspective thing.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, you know, Unicron in the Transformers movie, how he was planet mode. He's like, yeah, the size of a planet, and then he transforms into robot form and he's just standing on Cybertron. So it messes with your eyes.
Yeah.
I think for a character, I'm going to say it right away, the Joker, once they put him into the classic purple and orange tuxedo, so much more easier to take in this series.
Yeah.
Because it started off with that, like, psychedelic straight jacket. I was like, that's not Joker. That's an albino monkey with green dreadlocks.
I thought you were going to say an albino Muppet. I was like, yeah, they need to make that Muppet.
No, but I mean, yeah, I mean, that's one of the, again, that's one of the flaws of the series is, I mean, we'll get into it later, but I mean, just looking at the Joker, like, it's not the Mark Hamill Joker, which is my preferred Joker.
Well, right, but I mean, at this point in time, you had to use different versions. I mean, you know, Mark Hamill, as awesome as the man is and as awesome as his Joker is, he can't be everywhere, you know? And you can't just, you know, say, oh, hey, kids, look, Mark Hamill is in this show. This means it's tied into this, you know. I guarantee you if Mark had done this show at any point, they probably, some fanboy would have said, oh, well, this means it's in continuity with the DCAU. But overall, as far as my first impressions when I first watched it, I was so turned off by this series. It was so dark. It was essentially supposed to be a quote unquote year one, as far as at least the first season was, like the first three or four episodes. My understanding of it was back then, not now. Let me make this clear. In 2004, what I understood from seeing commercials about the show and from seeing the show on television was that it was meant to be a year one type of thing. Bruce was trying to find his way into being Batman, and that's essentially what the first two seasons are.
Oh, yeah. Almost every episode in the first two seasons, he's running into a villain for the first time. I mean, you had a couple of repeats with, like, the trinity of Batman villains, which was, you know, Catwoman, Penguin, and Joker.
Yeah.
I mean, but going back to designs for a second, the two of the redesigns that I absolutely loved in this series, or three of them, one was, I liked how they brought in the goggles version of Catwoman in this series, you know, voiced to perfection by Gina Gershon, who's just, like, hot. I'm sorry, I can't.
Your voice cracked there a little bit, dude. You almost sounded like a girl.
Anyway, I find her extremely attractive there.
Yes.
The two redesigns that I absolutely loved was, first, I love the Batcave in this series. You know, it's got, like, multiple levels. And it has a couple of nods to the classic Adam West series with the turntable for the Batmobile when he comes roaring into the cave. And he's got like those like turbo powered sliding pulls where he's on the garage level and he grabs it and it pulls him up to like the Bat computer, which I thought looked really good. And the fact that the Batcave, or just the series in general, the fact that Bruce Wayne is taking the time to build like multiple tunnels and exit and bolt holes throughout Gotham for the Batmobile and for himself. The other redesign, I love the first Batmobile. The Fast and Furious Batmobile, if you will.
Yeah.
But I thought it worked for the series because, you know, he's this new kid or new hero. He's got all this technology. I thought the Batmobile worked. I really, later on, I think it was like third season where they redesigned it to bring it more in line with, you know, the 89 Batman, you know, the TAS Batmobile. And I really didn't like that. Because it just didn't, it seemed like, you know, if you turn, you're going to have to take like the widest turn possible. It just didn't work for me. So.
Yeah. That's kind of like with me throughout the DCAU Batman stuff. Like in TAS, you had essentially the Burton Batmobile, but it's an animated form.
Yeah.
And then every time that they updated it, it got sleeker, it got blacker, and it got smaller to me.
Yeah.
Like, if you look at A Better World,
mm-hmm.
in Justice League, and you see that scene of Justice Lord's Batman and our Batman in the Batmobile in Metropolis in the middle of the day, that Batmobile looks so freaking weird.
Yeah. And that was the great thing I loved about like the first Batmobile in the series. You know, it looked like a race car. You know, it goes like, it's got two speeds fast and woo, what was that? You know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You know, that was a great thing. I mean, other like redesigns, like I love some of the way they redesigned some of the characters. I mean, Alfred's Alfred. You really can't improve on that.
Yeah, you can't really improve on his design. I mean, his design over the years and over the different series has changed a little bit, but essentially he is the same character model. I mean, there's, you know, obviously the DCAU version voiced by Ephraim Zimbalist Jr. is a different animated style or a different character mock-up than this here, or rather than the one that's in any of the movies, any of the animated movies, or even the one that's in Brave and the Bold.
Yeah.
But the character designs overall, I think the only thing, and this also actually goes to story and character, the only thing I really hated about this series, at least in the first season, is how they used at least to my knowledge, this is my own knowledge from watching other cartoons, they essentially did not use Matt Hagen as Clayface. They used Ethan Bennett, a cop.
Yeah.
He gets infected by Joker toxin and becomes Clay. I did not like that for a Clayface character. Yeah.
Well, in terms of the origin, no. I mean, I like the design of Clayface. Once he mutates and, you know, he goes goo, he looked, right. I think that was a great Clayface. But the idea that, you know, I kind of dug the idea that Bruce has got this friend who's a cop. I think, yeah, that's okay. But the way that, yeah, he breathes in this gas from the Joker putty and his body just basically melts. And
yeah.
No, I mean, I like the Clayface that they brought in, and like, I think it was like the third season, which was Basil Carlo, but they mix a little more, because the original in the comic books, the original Basil Carlo was basically this, you know, old school actor who put like clay makeup on his face and he's stabbed people. So in this one, they just gave it's Basil Carlo and the actor background, but it's the Matt Hagen, you know, morphing.
Yeah. So at this point, how much of the show have you seen now? Have you seen all five seasons, every single episode?
Yeah, I actually own the whole, I bought the individual season sets as they came out, so I got the whole thing.
Yeah, I've seen the first and second seasons over and over and over again because of Cartoon Network and Boomerang at the time when they were airing them. Because this is something that I could actually do a whole podcast on as far as Cartoon Network. They will take one action show, it doesn't matter if it's Thundercats, doesn't matter if it's a superhero show, whatever. They will take that one show, and if it's ready for syndication, they will syndicate the hell out of the first season. They will replay it, just one season for like 6 months. And I got the first season of this show just basically boiled into my brain from seeing it so many damn times. I have only seen the first two seasons altogether, and I've seen bits and pieces of seasons 3 and 4, and I had seen all of season 5, because season 5 was the only season I actually wanted on DVD. One of the reasons was because they were starting off that season with the Batman Superman story.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw that episode on Cartoon Network, and it said, tune in next week for part 2. I tuned in the next week. They never fucking showed it. Oh. It took them like 3 weeks to show the part 2, and I never saw it. I never was able to catch it. So I was like, when I saw that season 5 and it's the team-ups, I was like, fuck, I got to get this because I got to see George Newbern.
Yeah.
Or hear him. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah. Because, so, I mean, just to go over him quick, I mean, season 3... I mean, you read the wiki, it says season 3 introduced Batgirl. I say they forced it on us, because that's also where they gave us that, you know, craptacular second version of the theme song.
Yeah.
I mean, in season 3, it's just basically Batgirl is
Season 3 is where they wanted to start promoting to actual children.
Yeah. I mean, the series itself, I mean, the first season, I mean, they had... This is the only Batman animated series where if you see the suit in the show in a couple of weeks, you're going to see that toy on the shelves. Because
mm-hmm.
this is the one where Batman actually had some, like, 2 or 3 alternate suits. I mean, he had the white Batman suit for dealing with Mr. Freeze. He had the Batbot. You know, he had, like, the jet pack with the bat wings. I mean, but season 3 introduced us to Batgirl. We also... met Poison Ivy, Max, one of the classic Batman villains, Maxi Zeus. They had some new guys. One of my favorite new guys they introduced in the 3rd season was Dave. And actually, I said before I talk about Dave, I should mention this season introduced one of the classic Batman villains, Dr. Hugo Strange, yep. who in his first few appearances, was portrayed by the classic Batman Riddler, Frank Gorshin, who he will be missed, but that dude, he did a great creepy Dr. Hugo Strange, like this kind of rumbling bass in the bottom of his gut sort of voice. And he created one of the original characters for the show. Is my favorite was Dave, where basically Dr. Hugo Strange creates personality profiles of all of Batman's villains to this point and loads them into a computer so he can predict the next crime. Right. And throughout the season, you know, Strange isn't exactly on the up and up, and he basically lets Dave loose, and Dave creates, like, this, you know, robotic body for him, and he threatens to reveal Batman's identity, and blah, blah, blah. And it's just, I just kind of like that. That concept's been done over and over again in comics and other TV shows, like the composite personality. I really liked it.
Yeah.
So, season 4, we got Robin, voiced by...
Evan
Sabara, who's like the twin brother of Junie from Spy Kids. We also got Louis Gossett Jr. as Lucius Fox, which no knock in Morgan Freeman, but I would have also preferred Mr. Gossett Jr. in the Batman movies like that. And you spoke of Mark Hamill earlier. He actually did put in an appearance in season 4. He voiced Tony Zucco.
The sad thing about this is because I haven't... Before we started recording this episode, I only was able to see up to season 2 because that's all iTunes has is season 1 and season 2. It does not have the other two. It does not have the other 3 seasons.
It's not on Netflix.
And it's not on Netflix either, so that sucks. I'm going to actually probably have to go back and buy season 3 and season 4 because I really want to see and hear some of these awesome voice actors. While Mark Hamill is awesome, I just can't see him voicing Tony Zucco.
Yeah, it's you can tell it's Mark Hamill, and he's trying to do like a tough guy, Italian gangster. It's just, but you know, it's Mark Hamill. I mean, I thought it was really cool because, I mean, they got Mark Hamill to do that voice. They got Kevin Conroy to voice John Grayson, like Dick Grayson's dad in the flashbacks. Yeah. And that wasn't the only ones. I mean, season 4 actually brought in some of my favorite voices for villains. Like, they brought in James Remar as Black Mask.
That was absolute perfect casting.
Yeah. Oh, no, that was great. I love just the gruff rumble. They brought in Dave Foley as Francis Gray, who I basically think it's this guy who is a clockmaker and he gets time travel powers. It's basically the Batman's version of the Clock King.
Clock King, yeah.
And one that I really liked, I liked the Harley Quinn that they brought into the series. She was just trying to do, you know, the classic Mr. J, you know, kind of Harley.
Yeah.
I think the one voice or the two voices that I really liked in this series, because this series, or in this season, sorry, they'd had the episode called Artifacts, which kind of, it's a future episode where Batman's gone and there's this giant, like, mecha version of Mr. Freeze trashing Gotham, and they find the Batcave, and it also flashes back to the last time Mr. Freeze threatened Gotham. You got Jerry O'Connell to voice Nightwing in the flashbacks of that episode, which was really cool. As you know, I loved him as Captain Marvel in that Superman Captain Marvel short. And they also had probably one of my up there with a favorite original villains was Everywhere Man, voiced by Brandon Routh, also known as Superman Returns. So,
God,
it wasn't a great episode. I like Brandon Routh. I'm a fan. So, and the idea that this guy can create like quantum duplicates or whatever it was called in that episode. It was kind of a fun thing. It was totally a Silver Age comic book sort of supervillain. You know, it's like Jamie Madrox from X-Men versus Batman. Who's going to win?
Yeah, really.
And then, you know, the season four ended with the two-part The Joining, which, you know, started bringing in other superheroes finally. You got John Jones, voiced by Dorian Harewood, it's basically the Batman's version of the Borg, minus the organic component, these alien robots taking over the world. In the final scene, they go to the Watchtower, which basically looks like the Super Friends Hall of Justice mounted on a meteorite.
Oh God, don't remind me.
It exists, Mike.
That is the one. When I was watching season 5, that was the one thing that made me never want to watch this show again, is their horrible, horrible homage of the Hall of Justice and the Watchtower combined into one thing.
Hey, kids, we can make it better. No, I wasn't a big fan of it. I appreciated the nod, but it didn't work.
It looks so fucking stupid. Okay. All right. Okay. Go to the White House. Excavate the White House
out of the ground. Plot,
out of its plot. Fly it into space. Put it on this asteroid where it's like half leaning down toward Earth. You would have people fucking falling out of the fucking building through space. Are you fucking kidding? Like, I appreciate that nod, but they could have done something to where the Watchtower was just a satellite in space, and the Hall of Justice could have been like the Metro Tower was in JLU, where it's on Earth.
And it basically was the Hall of Justice. I mean,
I know.
Stretched into a skyscraper. What I'm saying is,
like, instead of taking the Hall of Justice and putting it on something, you know, putting it on a meteor rock or whatever it was, or putting it on this thing in space, instead of doing that, have the actual Hall of Justice on Earth, and then have a separate satellite be the Watchtower in space. Not take the damn building and put it in space. Oh, yeah. God.
No, I get that. I get that. But, you know, okay. But season 5 was called The Brave and the Bold Season, and we'll talk about that series eventually. But It was called The Brave and the Bold Season specifically because, like, the classic comic book title, Batman had, like, basically 5 team-ups throughout the 13-episode season. He had teamed up with Hawkman, Green Arrow, Flash, Green Lantern, and Superman. I think it was the...
I cannot believe that the guy that got his career really started on MTV hosting Singled Out... Played Green Arrow. Chris Hardwick.
I'm a fan, man.
I just cannot believe that.
Honestly, his voice, I prefer. I loved his Green Arrow. I mean, I would love to hear a Green Arrow off between him and I can't remember the guy's name, but did Ollie in Justice League Unlimited.
Ken Schreiner or Ken, it's Ken something.
Yeah, Dermot Mulroney as Green Hal Jordan, Green Lantern, which is okay.
To tell me that the stripper from The Wedding Date, the male escort from The Wedding Date, played Hal Jordan? Wow, Geoff Johns must be rolling over in his he's not dead yet.
All of money.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. No, but when I think Dermot Mulroney, I think Young Guns Part 1 from the 80s. That's what I think of Dermot Mulroney. Thank you. then you had Robert Patrick, like T-1000 was Hawkman, which was cool. I didn't like Charlie Schlatter's Flash. It sounded like he was trying to do like a Jeremy Piven, Wally West. You know, it didn't work for me there. But
even though I said earlier that James Remar voicing Black Mask was spot on, it was really great, I do not like, as cool and awesome as Robert Patrick is, I did not like his Hawkman, because Hawkman to me is James Remar from Justice League.
Yeah.
That's just who I hear when I see Hawkman in animation. I hear James Remar's voice.
Yeah.
And
you look at some of the other voices. I mean, you had Greg Ellis, who did Dr. Fate in the Brave and the Bold series, is Count Vertigo. You had, Diedrich Bader put in some time on the series. I mean, it was okay. Not the greatest villain voice in the series. I much preferred Miguel Ferrer as Sinestro.
Yeah.
And the one that until I was doing research for this podcast, I didn't realize freaking John Larroquette is Mirror Master.
Yeah.
I mean, that was awesome. And even to get even more nerdy, Bud Bundy made an appearance in this season doing a voice.
David Faustino, yeah.
Yeah, he was a fox when they did the Terrible Tree episode.
God. Going back to Diedrich Bader. I don't mind him as Shadow Thief. Where I mind Diedrich Bader is has the worst voice for Batman. Even in the context of Brave and the Bold, which is actually the episode that'll come after this one. Even in that context of what Brave and the Bold is, I keep flashing to Oswald from Drew Carey and Lawrence from Office Space.
Okay, we'll talk. Hopefully, maybe you'll let me be on that episode too, because I would like to defend Mr. Bader. But I will say, I understand you don't like his voice, and that's cool. But I didn't like his Shadow Thief because, like I said, if you know me at all or have talked to me for more than 5 minutes, I'm a comic nerd through and through. And I've read as many Bat Hawkman comics as I can. He's one of my favorite Hawkman villains. And it just seems to me that a guy who's a thief, who literally become a shadow and slip in anywhere, would have a slightly more sinister or creepy voice. Mm. And Bader's Shadow Thief just sounds like a thug.
Yeah.
So.
And again, going back to James Remar, did the voice of Shadow Thief in Justice League Unlimited.
Yeah.
So, you know, and he altered it. It was still his voice, but you can tell that it was altered just a little bit to obviously differentiate between Shadow Thief and Hawkman.
Yeah.
Going over the voice cast really quick, we've kind of mentioned everybody. I just can't believe they got Reno Ramato to voice Batman Bruce Wayne. I don't dislike the guy, but as soon as I saw the name, I'm like, wait a second, what's Spidey Unlimited Peter Parker doing here?
Yeah, it's not like he knows anybody in the industry. It's certainly family connections certainly didn't help him get this job.
Oh, I didn't even notice that. Oh shit. Wow. That's so funny.
Mom, I'm having trouble making rent this month.
Cool. I didn't even put that together. Oh my God.
I'm not saying that's.
I know, but I didn't even put. Oh wow. Okay, so moving on. Kevin Michael Richardson as Joker. As much as I love the man, as much as I love KMR, his Joker was way too weird for me.
Yeah,
I did. It was cool, but
I think
like I can only take so much of it at once.
Yeah, I think what was wrong with the Joker was not necessarily Mr. Richardson's performance. It was the fact that they made him like a, like I said, an albino monkey with green dreadlocks that hopped around like he was on a permanent sugar high. I mean, the guy was half Spider-Man. Like, I'm sorry, like, I'm not saying the Joker can't try and put up a fight with Batman, but this one, he was almost as good as Batman when it came to the fisticuffs. And,
yeah,
you know, classically, that's just not Joker. But, you know, you look at some of the other voices, like you were telling me off air, I had no idea that Clancy Brown, the freaking Kurgan from Highlander, is Bane.
Yeah, Clancy Brown has, at least out of what I'm seeing here on BehindTheVoiceActors.com's side-by-side comparison for the Batman,
yeah.
Clancy has the most voice roles out of the recurring cast. He's Bane, he's Mr. Freeze, he's Lex Luthor.
He's Joe Chill.
Yeah, he's Joe Chill.
yeah, but if you look at, if you got, you know, another workhorse of the animation community, Jason Marsden's in here as Firefly. And like I said, again, what I said off earlier, the Riddler is voiced by Freddy freaking Cougar, Robert Englund, which was
Robert
great.
Englund, yeah,
was and so... this actually made me like the Riddler, because for the longest time, I just was not a fan of that character.
I absolutely love the BTAS Riddler, because because one of the reasons why I more so love it now is because I know who the hell it is at this point in my life. I didn't like when I was when I was growing up watching the show, or when I could watch the show, seeing as how my stepmother wouldn't allow me to watch Batman the Animated Series. Oh, it's too violent. You'll go out and murder people with plastic batarangs.
Yes.
Now that I know that it's John Glover that voiced the Riddler, and now that I can put the face with the voice, because he obviously he was Lionel Luthor in Smallville, yeah. I absolutely love the BTAS Riddler.
Oh yeah, no, but I like what they did with the Riddler in this one, where they made him like an information thief.
Yeah,
but still got the riddles, and he's a little more high tech. I like that. You had another, you know, veteran of the voice industry, Jeff Bennett's in here. He does Ragdoll, you know, like a
Killer Moth.
Oh yeah, I did Killer Moth.
I
love
Killer
the
Moth, Ragdoll, Killer Moth, Ragdoll, Dave.
They brought back the real Lois Lane for the series, Dana Delaney.
Delaney, now she is hot. Oh, I don't care how old she gets; she is always hot.
Oh no, no, she's aging very well. you had, you know,
I don't care how many people say that Exit to Eden was bad. I loved her in that movie.
Yeah. I've never seen it, so I can't comment. Oh, again, but, you know, we talked about, you know, like Chris Hardwick as Green Arrow. They had friggin' Homer Simpson was Scarface. Dan Castellaneta. ADA Skinner from The X-Files. Mitch Pileggi is Commissioner Gordon, which that is a great Commissioner Gordon. He just has that voice. And Janosch from Ghostbusters 2 is, you know, Peter McNichol is Man-Bat. And you look at some of the other voices, like you just, Glenn Shaddix was the Clue Master in this, you know, before he passed, which was kind of awesome. Jim Cummings did Tembler. Phil LaMarr was Maxi Zeus. You know, it's just, they had, even they got a Batman Beyond cameo. You got Will Friedle as Gearhead.
Yep.
So, I mean, it was just kind of great all around. Like, there was a lot of people. The coolest thing looking at the voices, I got to say, is the guy who did, like, the groans and the roars for Solomon Gundry is Kevin Griveaux, who, if you've ever seen the first Underworld movie, he was the werewolf named Raze. He was, like, that big, buff, black werewolf. The black dude. Who, if you know that, he's also the guy that wrote that movie. I've kind of found that cool. I mean, you find all sorts of interesting things in doing research.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the voice actors was great. I mean, overall, I don't think the voice acting was the worst thing about this. It's like I said earlier, it was really some of the art style.
It's some of the art style, and it's also part. It's also the storylines too.
Yeah, they got some pretty. I'm not gonna lie, they had some goofy ass stories in this show. I mean. They brought in, like, I guess it could be a version of Toy Man. Like, they had the Toy Maker, Cosmo Crank, which was Patton Oswalt. they had one where the Joker's mind gets copied into a bunch of nanotechnology and becomes like Joker 2.0.
Yeah.
You know, they had all sorts of weird stuff. One of the, wasn't necessarily the worst episode, but the Maxi Zeus episode with the, because up until the Maxi Zeus episode, Batgirl is basically just tagging along, annoying the hell out of Batman.
Yeah.
And somehow she manages to get onto like the, basically she gets onto the S.H.I.E.L.D. helicarrier, because that's what Maxi's ship looks like. You're telling me that no one's going to run across some 15-year-old girl in purple tights running around? Like, it just, Batgirl bugged me so much in this series.
If they made her older, like, say, 21, and not, 22.
And not as annoying.
If they made her older but kept the same costume and made her a little bit hotter, I would have liked her a little bit better. But seeing as how at this point she's jailbait, nah.
Yes.
So.
I think the one of the worst, at least one of the worst episodes for me was, God, what was the one? I can't remember the name of it. But it's Joker gets a hold of Bane's rig, like his Venom rig, and becomes like, you know, this buff Uber Joker.
Yeah, I don't remember what that one was.
Yeah. Oh, it's Braun. It was Braun. And where Batgirl gets to run around in the Batbot suit. And I was like, no!
It's sacrilege for the sidekicks to wear the Batbot suit. That's
yeah, it's like, you're going to get cooties all over my Bat Tech.
So next up is how the show stacks up. And we have four different categories here. The first category is, how does this show compare to other shows within the same franchise? How does it stack up against shows in the same genre? And how does it stack up with shows in its time slot? And which show from a previous decade is this show most comparable to? Now, for the first question of how does this show compare to other shows within the same franchise, I have listed here BTAS, Batman Beyond, and Brave and the Bold. The Batman, for me, the order goes BTAS, Beyond, The Batman, and then Brave and the Bold. So it's third out of the four series. What about you?
I'd flip The Batman with Brave and the Bold, just... I think the Brave and the Bold, like, for various reasons, not just the voice and not the voice acting, but for other reasons, I think it's a better series than the Batman.
Okay.
Just because it's, like I said earlier, they basically made this for kids, but more importantly, for the toys. So,
yeah,
I mean, I'd say it like that. And I can't really rate it against the, I've never really watched any of the older Batman cartoons, like the Filmation series and,
yeah, that's why I didn't list those. I mean, I've seen the Adventures of Batman and Robin, the Adam West, Casey Kasem shows. I've seen those, but I've mainly seen them like, you know, the Scooby-Doo movies, Batman, you know, Scooby meets Batman and Robin. So that's why I really didn't list those. I really only listed the actual, you know, Batman cartoons that matter.
Yeah.
Because the Scooby-Doo stuff doesn't really count.
Yeah.
As far as how it stacks up against show in the same genre, shows that I listed were Superman the Animated Series, Justice League Unlimited, Superhero Squad show, Avengers, Legion of Superheroes. I guess you could also count Spider-Man and X-Men and all that stuff, because they're all superhero cartoons. I just didn't have them listed.
If you were to make a top 10 list out of the ones you just mentioned, it would probably, for me, it would be in the bottom of the list. It's like, I like the series. It's just, there's a lot of stuff that bugs me about it.
Yeah, I would definitely, out of the ones that I have listed here, I would put it, I would put JLU first, Superman the Animated Series second, Superhero Squad third, The Batman fourth, Avengers fifth, and then Legion of Superheroes sixth.
Yeah. I don't think the Batman's better than the Avengers. I think the Avengers is better. I don't know, man.
That theme song, and I blame that alcoholic aficionado as well. That theme song is just horrid.
I think it's one of the better
The World Is About to Break is one of the better theme songs. No, it's not.
Dude. It's not that bad.
It's horrible.
You just don't have a soul.
Well, I am.
Anyway, so. I'm just saying, I like the Avengers theme song. It's just for a second there, I was like, well, if you're talking about United They Stand, well, then yes, the Batman is better than that.
No, I was talking about Earth's Mightiest Heroes.
I think, but anyway.
Anyways, how does it stack up against the shows in its time slot? We actually had to look this up because I didn't remember what the hell this even went up against back in the day.
And one caveat I would like to mention is you got to keep in mind this show was on TV at a time when only the Kids WB and the Fox Box on the Fox network were the only game in town for Saturday morning cartoons.
Yeah, I mean, so, Cartoon Network was doing stuff, but they weren't doing stuff like this.
Yeah, but I mean, it's a whole network of cartoons, so it's,
yeah,
you know, it's just 24 hours versus 3 hours on a Saturday.
Yeah, exactly. ones I have listed here, Crypto the Superdog, Legion of Superheroes, What's New Scooby-Doo, Scooby and Shaggy Get a Clue, Shaolin Showdown, Mucha Lucha, and Lunatics Unleashed.
Oh, God. I'm sorry. I'll give you the Looney Tunes show over Lunatics Unleashed any day.
Honestly, the Batman is better than any of these shows, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, I mean, they're all some, like, Shaolin Showdown and the Legion of Superheroes are probably my favorite out of that list.
Yeah.
Just because, you know, they actually had a coherent storyline, and there were some pretty good jokes, and the animation was really good. I mean, Legion of Superheroes, I loved almost exclusively because I've read almost every series of that has ever come out in comic book form. So,
yeah,
you know, but no, it's the Batman, and out of the shows on the WB Kids WB, it was probably one of the better ones at the time.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I mean, it started just as Jackie Chan Adventures was coming off the air, and, you know, it obviously shared, you know, the similar art design and all that. And the kind of, you know, what do you call it? Like the adrenaline rush action of the series was one of the more popular things about it, I would say.
Yeah. And which show does this, which show from a previous decade is this show most compared to? I put down Spider-Man Unlimited.
Yeah. You know, cause going back is like, you know, I loved everything, pretty much everything coming out of the 80s, and I can't really think of anything there that you could compare this to. So I'd have to agree, Spider-Man Unlimited, while it is basically a direct sequel to the 90s Fox Spidey cartoon,
yeah,
it's just so bat poop insane with what they did with the story. It's like, Spidey's on another planet, and he's got a symbiote costume. Oh, wait, it's not symbiote, it's nanotechnology. And
I liked that. I thought that suit was... What, and again, we'll have to save this for when we get to that, or, well, we won't get to that, but I liked that about the Unlimited series, because it was a nanotech suit, and I thought that was kind of cool, but anyway.
Nah, it's just, I watched like the first three episodes, and my brain was like, what? But yeah, I mean, it's the only show that can really think of that you could compare it to. So
yeah, that's true. All right, so we are the IGN replacement crew. We have four choices. One is don't ever watch this show at all. Two is show is worth a watch view if you come across it. Three is you should definitely be DVRing the show. Well, you can't DVR it because it's not airing anymore. And three is you need to add this to your, or four is you need to add this to your DVD collection as soon as possible. I would give it a two.
I'd do that as well. It's like I mean, obviously I've said I own the series.
Yeah.
So, but if you've never seen it before and you like Batman cartoons, I definitely say it's a look, and, you know, judge for yourself.
Yeah. You know, this is going to appeal to some people. It's not probably going to appeal to people that want cartoons to make sense or want comic book nods in every single episode.
Yeah. I know some of my friends, I sold them on this series because my one buddy Jay was like a huge, he loved the Jackie Chan adventures. And I was like, well, the guy that did the art design on that's working on a new Batman cartoon. And it's like, here it is. And he's like, oh, I must watch it. Okay, it wasn't that bad, but he was like, okay, I'm going to check that out. But yeah, it's not for everybody, but if you want to give it a chance, you're not gonna dislike it too much, I don't think.
It's not as unbelievable as Brave and the Bold is.
Yeah.
Because that's just off the wall, batshit insane.
Well, that was the 1950s comic books for you, so.
That's true. All right, so it is on DVD. All five seasons are on DVD. I think wasn't there a comic book series with it as well?
Yeah, there was a comic book series called The Batman Strikes.
Strikes, yeah.
Yeah, it was basically part of the Johnny DC line, like the Justice League Unlimited comic book was. Huh. And they had a few characters in there that never showed up in the show, like Bruno Ugly Mannheim, Cat Grant from Superman, Etrigan the Demon showed up in the very last issue. You know, Solomon Grundy had a few more appearances than he did in the show. So it's good. You know, it was a Johnny DC comic. It wasn't that bad. You know, it's kind of like the Batman TAS comic that came out back in the day.
Yeah.
It's a tie-in at best. I mean, you really can't say too much about it.
Right. Yeah. I mean, and that's really what they've really done with most of the DC cartoons, whether it's the DCAU or whether it's outside of the DCAU, is they've, you know, Batman Beyond had a couple comic book tie-ins, Justice League, BT, you know, the Batman Adventures had, you know, was a comic book tie-in series.
Yeah. The other thing we should mention, Mike, probably should mention earlier, was the direct-to-DVD movie they did.
Batman versus Dracula?
Yeah. Which, you know, we can mention it briefly. I'm just saying, I thought it was a pretty decent thing. It basically fits between season 4 and 5.
Yeah. Cartoon Network loves to re-air that sometimes.
Yeah. I think the best thing about that is, you know, it's basically, oh, the insane thing about that movie is the fact that Count Dracula is buried underneath Gotham City. Really? I mean, everything else that happened in the movie, the fact that, you know, you get to see, like, a vamped out Joker, which was kind of cool. You see Penguin doing his best Renfield impersonation. They bring in the classic Batman love interest, Vicki Vale, the only time she was ever seen in the series.
Yeah.
And the fact that they got Peter Stormare, who...
Peter Stottermeyer, yeah.
Stottermeyer? It's Stormare.
I don't know.
Stormare, it's the... People will know him as the crazy Russian cosmonaut from Armageddon. he played Dracula, and he actually did it really... He did it... I'm going to say it. He played Dracula like he was a pimp. You know, just he had this swagger. He had this magnetism to him. It was a really well-done performance. And he kind of does the classic, you know, his secret identity is Dr. Alucard, who Batman is like, he writes up Dracula in lipstick on a serving plate and holds it up to a mirror, and he's like, ah, I get it. It's just, it was a decent show. I mean, you'd have to do an entire episode to really talk about it. It was good. I liked it.
Yeah. The funny thing about that actor is Michael Bay would use him again in Bad Boys 2 as a wronged criminal by Johnny Tapia.
Yeah, no, anytime he shows up, he showed up in the Constantine movie as Satan himself, and
God,
I love the way he played him. He comes in wearing like a disco suit, and he's just acting just like nonchalant. I was like, yeah, I buy it.
Yep. All right, we are going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be back to close the show.
Dreamcast will be back after these messages.
Like animation? Come listen to Animation Aficionados.
And if you disagree with us, you could be a guest on a future show.
Available on iTunes, the Zune Market, and AnimationAficionados.com.
You can now hear the Geekcast Radio Network while on the go with Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher is a free use and talk mobile app available for your smartphone. And when you download Stitcher to hear Geekcast Radio, you'll have a chance to win money. Downloading is quick and easy. Just find Stitcher in the App Store. During registration, hit the promo code box and enter Geekcast Radio, all one word, to get automatically entered to win $100. The latest episodes of the shows will be waiting for you and your favorites. You'll get access to lots of other amazing shows, too. Always available to you on demand, no syncing. It's Stitcher Smart Radio. Don't forget to enter promo code Geekcast Radio when you register.
Is this thing on? Oh, goody. Why, hello there. It's your dear old Uncle Joker here. I bet you're asking yourself, what could I be possibly doing here of all places? Well, I'm laughing at the fact that this new podcast presented by Geekcast Radio is called Legends of the Dark Knight. Who the heck knew the bat was so popular? Ugh! Join Steve, Mike, and sometimes Tara for reviews on the greatest DC animated universe cartoon to ever meet Gotham City. So join moi for the talk of the town, or I'll send Captain Clown after you. He gets mighty angry when he doesn't get to have his garbage skull. So put on a nice big smile and join us for the next Geekcast Radio Network podcast, Legends of the Dark Knight.
Grab your helmets because it's time to assemble Mask. Coming April 10th, 2012, the Geekcast Radio Network launches Mask Mayhem with your hosts Optimus Solo and TFG and Mike. This podcast covering all 75 episodes of Mask will feature in-depth analysis of every episode, talk on the toys, and more. Mask Mayhem will run 30 podcast episodes. You can find us in iTunes and on www.geekcastradio.com. Get your spectrums ready, as podcasting is the ultimate weapon.
Now back to Geekcast!
Okay, we are back, and my laugh earlier in this episode was kind of unjustified, because Reno Romano and Andrea Romano are not related. And Reno is Canadian.
Hey, you know what? We're not going to hold a Canadian against him, Mike. I will apologize for insinuating that. But those are the only two people that I know of in Hollywood with that last name, so it was a fair assumption.
That's funny. All right, so final thoughts on the Batman.
I like by and large, I did like the design of the series. I liked the fact that there was a lot more action in it than previous Batman series. The fact that it was basically like a Batman, you know, it's a very year one sort of aspect initially. And there were some of the redesigned villains I like the Riddler. Some of the things I didn't like. The Penguin, it's like Crouching Tiger, Hidden Penguin. It's like the Penguin's a martial artist on par with Batman. Like, no.
No, that's not right.
No. The albino monkey with green dreadlocks, I mean the Joker. Not the portrayal of the Joker is what I didn't like. Once they got him into the purple and orange tuxedo, you know, made it a little easier to swallow. I like the fact that they finally brought in Commissioner Gordon at some point, because I was really worried they were going to have that, Chief Rojas through the whole thing.
I hated that character.
I thought it was really cool. What's his name? Commander Adama from Battlestar Galactica. Edward James Olmos.
Yeah.
He voiced Chief Rojas in the first episode, and that was the only time he did that.
Yeah.
I mean, by and large, like I said in the beginning of the episode, I like the show in a 60-40 kind of way. 40% I'm not a big fan of. 60%, it's a bit of all right.
Yes. For me, there are a lot of nitpicky issues, mainly what really makes me say completely fuck you to this show is the way that they tried to homage and failed with the Hall of Justice and the Watchtower.
Yeah.
I know that's a little very, that's not little, but it's very, very nitpicky on my part. But I don't like how, I don't like it when shows decide to change their entire focus midway through. Like, the first two seasons were super dark. It was Batman by himself doing all this stuff. And then by the third year, they're like, wait, this is a cartoon. We have to cater to children. Let's change the theme song.
We can make it better.
Yes. It's like, are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah, it's just, it's one of those things that you just want to find Sam Register and the other people behind the series and smack them upside the head with
shit out of them
with a sack full of doorknobs because he was acting like a doorknob. He gets doorknobs. And one thing, one interesting bit of trivia I found out doing research for this, they actually, in that first episode, Bat in the Belfry, where you see the guys walking on the bridge just before the Joker's Jack in the Box bomb goes off. Right. That's actually Alan Burnett and Bruce Timm voicing, like, doing those grunts and whatnot of those guys.
That doesn't surprise me. I always found it really awesome that every now and then Bruce Timm or Alan Burnett or James Tucker or, you know, Paul Dini would lend their likenesses to animated characters or lend their voices to animated characters.
Yeah.
Like, one of the reasons why I love the lead Joker in the lead Joker of the Joker's gang in Rebirth in Batman Beyond is that it's Bruce Timm doing the voice of him.
Yeah. And I mean, for me, what made the fact when I found that out that Bruce Timm actually did that, that just kind of shows that he didn't take what Sam Register said and held it against him. Like, he's just kind of like, okay.
Whatever. Yeah.
It's like, that's like too cool for school. It's like, and I think that was really awesome of Bruce Timm. Cause I mean, you look at what Register said. And like I said before, that was just a really ignorant thing to say.
You don't sit there and do that before your show even airs.
Exactly. It's like,
you don't sit there and bash the previous, I mean, you know what, you know, we could do an episode, and we probably will end up doing like a DeLorean time episode on the adventures of Batman and Robin, the Adam West Casey Kasem show at some point in Tooncast Beyond. But you don't sit there and bash, you know, sit there and bash the adventures of Batman and Robin, which came before his show.
Yeah.
You know, you just don't do that. I mean, you know, you're Sam Register is entitled to his opinion. Everyone is entitled to their opinions, but if you're in promo mode to get your new show noticed, you don't sit there and come out and say, my show's better because it's not for 30-year-olds who are trapped in their mother's basements.
Yeah, that's just, like I said, you're an idiot.
Overall, if you want a different version of the Batman universe, I would say that this show is at least worth a watch if you find it online or if you want to buy the DVDs. I will go ahead and say it is probably the crappiest Batman that we've had as far as overall storytelling and just designs and all that stuff. I will admit I'm not defending their choice and their name of it, but I will give the animation aficionados the crap man, as far as that goes. However, what really pisses me off about it is they constantly say it. It's like, God, let up a little bit. Anyway.
Yeah.
So do you have anything you want to pimp out before we close the show?
Well, I will, like mentioned on AA there, that I do have my own podcast. It's called Authentic Geek. You can find it at authenticgeek247.blogspot.com. We've kind of taken, me and my co-host Doug, have kind of taken an unintended extended hiatus due to life, basically. I am working
Hence why you're here.
Well, no, I'm here because I love working with you, Mike.
Right, exactly.
No, I'm working on reformatting it slightly, like maybe adding a couple of new elements, just tweaking some things. And eventually we'll get back to, hopefully soon we'll get back to recording. It's just, I can't say for sure when.
Yeah.
But other than that, that's me. That's what I'm doing.
Thank you for joining us here on TuneCast Beyond. There are several ways to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com. You can leave the show's feedback in iTunes. Please do this. Follow us on Twitter. The show name there is TuneCast Beyond. Mine is TFG1 Mike. What is your Twitter?
My Twitter is at JT from Saskatoon. Capital J, capital T, and capital S on Saskatoon. And I'm welcome to new followers as long as you're not a bot that makes me have to change my password, as what happened recently. Because I'm pretty sure it was like you, Chuck Dog, frickin' Laidman even. I think it was Laidman or... Yep.
Everybody was after you. You've been hacked.
I was like, I didn't click anything. Oh, wait, I did. So, yes. But hey, that's the internet, folks.
There you go. Become a fan of Facebook. Go to facebook.com/geekcastradionetwork. Call our voicemail line. Tell us the show you're leaving the message for and your name. 502-526-5821. We hope you enjoyed this episode of TuneCast Beyond and wish you'll join us next time when we'll be continuing the season of superheroes with Batman, the Brave and the Bold. Oh, God. Somebody shoot me now. For now, I am TFG1 Mike with
JT from Saskatoon.
Thank you for listening. Until next time.
Gee, Mike, it doesn't sound like you're at all enthused to talk about the Batman, the Brave, and the Bold. He's like, shoot me now.